Thomas Woolsey rose from humble beginnings to the center of power in the early 16th century in England. He became Lord Chancellor of England for King Henry VIII. It meant he was, next to the king, the most powerful person in the whole kingdom. He was a clergyman. He was actually Archbishop of York, but his energy was focused on political power and political position. But in the course of Henry VIII's reign, he fell from power and the king abandoned him. And late in his life, now separated from all of the prerogatives of power, now abandoned by the king, by his friends, now finally being pursued by his enemies, he experienced a spiritual renewal. He rediscovered something that he had lost. And he came to this conclusion. He said, if I had served my God with the same energy and commitment that I gave to serving my king, he would not have left me in my old age naked to my enemies. Thomas Woolsey learned a lesson about taking care about who and what you love. I want us to think about that this morning. We're going to look at a text that will help us to focus that thought, which is as relevant and timely today as it was in the 16th century when Thomas Woolsey lived. It's in Luke chapter 12. Let's turn there and we'll hear what God has to say to us. Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 22. This is a matter of the heart. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Lord, teach us from your word this morning. Help us to hear your voice, see your direction. Help us to follow where you would lead us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's a wonderful, beautiful passage, echoed, of course, over in Matthew. But we would be mistaken if we read this, as we sometimes do, as an affirmation, encouragement, to have confidence that God will provide the material things we need. I mean, it almost sounds like it says that. But if we read the text carefully, if we understand it in the context of its meaning, it really isn't about that at all. This text is trying to give us two things, it seems to me. One is a reality check, and the other is a call to a course change. The reality check is actually the perspective, the presupposition that shapes how Jesus is coming to this question and this problem. And it comes at the end of the text, so the presupposition comes at the very end. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That is, Jesus is trying to give us a reality check that identifies that where our treasure is, that's what we love. That is, what we give ourselves to, what we invest our lives in, is what we really love with our heart. Sometimes we try to separate those two things, and we want to say on the one hand, we love one thing. We love our spouse, or we love our children, or we love our family, or we love our church, or we love our God. And yet, the investment of our lives that identifies the treasure that we're trying to cultivate and gather and develop and protect is somewhere else. I don't know how many times across these years of ministry I've been in a conversation with a couple in marital counseling or some earnest conversation, and usually it's the man who has been so invested, his treasure's been in his career, it's been in advancement, it's been in trying to earn more money or get a little higher on the corporate ladder, and so his investment has all been there. But in the conversation he wants to say, but you know, I've done all of that for you. I've just really been doing all that because I love you and the kids. But they know it's not true. Because where your treasure is where your heart is. So partly this is a reality check for us this morning to be paying attention, not to what we say we love, not to what we feel like we love, but where our treasure is. That is, where are we focused in where we're giving our life and our energy and our attention? Where does our time and our money and our passion go? Because where our treasure is, that's really where our heart is. So Jesus is wanting to call our attention to the reality that what we give ourselves to is what we love. Now, having identified that as the presupposition of his consideration, given that that's true, this text is a call to a course change. Now, it does have affirmations in here about God's attention to what we need. He knows that we need these things. He cares for us. But the point of the text is not that. In fact, if you look at the passage immediately prior, verses 13 through 21, this is the introduction into the passage which we read. And in that passage, he tells the story about a rich fool who had invested his treasure, invested his love into accumulating wealth and possessions and building barns. We wouldn't build barns. We'd build, what would we build? We'd build homes. Stock portfolios, businesses. And he built all of those things and he wanted to build more. And then the angel says, well, you fool. Because your life ends tonight and you can't take any of that with you. That's the backdrop to this text. So when Jesus says in the text, therefore, that's what he's referring to. Because to give your heart to barns and possessions and the collection of things is folly because you can't keep them. Because that's true, you need to put your heart somewhere else. You need to not give your heart to things that will disappoint you and fail you. You need to give your heart. You need to put your treasure and your heart in the right place. So that's why he's saying, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, or your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food. This isn't about just saying God will make sure you have food. God is interested in more than making sure you have food. He's interested in more in making sure you have clothes. He knows that's a concern of life. But his dream for you and I is more than food and clothes. If who of you by worrying can add a single hour to this life, since you can't do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Focusing on the things we cannot control, the things we cannot do, instead of focusing on what is God's gift to us that merits our making that our treasure. And he says it's the kingdom. God has given you the kingdom. So seek the kingdom, and these things will be given to you. Now, this isn't a formula to say, well, seek God and then you get money. We're misreading the text. We're misunderstanding the meaning. This isn't about go to church and your stock portfolio will go up. This isn't about tithing and you'll get more money. Now, I would say God blesses in amazing ways. And there's a way of, we've been talking about giving. There's a way that when we order our financial affairs, when we order our lives in ways that honor God, somehow God just typically blesses that. But we make a mistake when we turn that into a formula, sort of an investment plan. Give to God because he has a higher rate of return than indexed commodities. It doesn't work like that. And the point is, that's not the focus. That's not where you should invest the treasure of your life, but it is on the kingdom of what God has for you, because nothing else really will work for you. You can't trust anything else. Don't give it your heart. Remember Harold, this is one of my board members. He was my treasurer down in North Carolina. Harold was an old German. He'd worked with IBM, been at IBM from early stages of IBM, spent 30-plus years working for IBM and given his life to it. And then he took one of those buyouts, you know, that he couldn't turn down, retired. I don't know, it's maybe a year later. I was with him one day, and I think probably we were just together in a quiet moment, and he said, you know, I worked in that office all those years, and now that I'm retired, nobody ever called me. They don't see how I'm doing. They don't call me up to invite me to lunch. Now, I suppose from our perspective, it's like, well, what did you expect? But he thought, because he had invested himself there, that they would continue to value him. And he had this sense of loss after all this time. When I walked out the door, I was forgotten. So IBM may be a great company to work for, but don't make it your treasure. Don't give it your heart. And don't make food and drink, material things, what your life is about. We lost Nancy's dad this summer. He lived a long, full life. He was almost 96 when he died. And was pretty healthy and vigorous until really the last couple of years. In the end, his mind got a little more muddled, and he couldn't always think clearly and struggled to get his mind around things. And yet, even close to the end of his life, I was learning from him. One day I was with him, just sitting with him in there in his room at the nursing home and trying to have a conversation. And he couldn't quite get his mind around it, but he was struggling to tell me something. And eventually it was clear. He was frustrated with the world that his world had become. And he had gotten his statement from his accounts, his financial statements, and he referenced that he had spent his whole life saving money so that he would have money to do what he wanted to do, and his financial statement said he had money to do whatever he wanted, and yet he said, you would think I could get something better than this. I have this money, but I can't get out of this room. I have this money, but I can't get out of this wheelchair. I have this money, but I can't get my mind clear. It just seems wrong. Be careful what you get your heart to. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. What you're giving yourself to, that's where your heart belongs. And Jesus is saying, check this out and make a course change. Put your treasure, focus your heart on something that goes beyond these things in this life and of the life of the kingdom. And God knows you need food and drink and a place to live. He knows all those things. He's attentive to that. But that's not what He wants to give you. What He wants to give you is the kingdom. What He wants to give you is life and hope that no financial disaster can take away. So it's a reality check. To be honest with yourself, where your treasure is, that's what you love. And a direction check. Is it focused? Are you given to the kingdom of God? The life that God invites you into. Because that's the only thing that's beyond the reach of the things in this life that will take it away. I was on the road quite a bit this week. And I was really happy yesterday in the afternoon. Central Michigan, to be able to get in my car, turn that GPS thing on, and the screen comes up. It says, set a new destination or home. And I was glad to finally be at the place in the week where I could push home and turn my car back to where I wanted it to go. I'm wondering this morning, is there anybody that's been setting the course on another direction that needs to set the marker toward home? The other things will rob you. They'll steal from you. They'll leave you empty unless we're headed home. Well, I'm just wondering if God is dealing with anybody about that today. And if He is, now's the time to change your GPS. Now's the time to hit the button that says, home is where I'm headed. And I just want to take a moment here. I know we don't do this much here, but I just want to take a moment just to have the altar open in case we need to do some business today. Because if this is business you need to do, it's the most important business you'll do. Well, maybe ever. I wonder if we could just sing that song again, if I can remember the words. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hands. Would you stand with me? Than to be the King of a vast domain and be held in sin's red sway. I'd rather have pray to close the service this morning. If that is not your prayer, could you make it your prayer? Would you let God set your course straight toward home? Lord, we thank you that your dream for us is more than meat or drink, houses or lands, more than wealth, more than material possessions, more than success. But the dream you have for us goes beyond all of those things into the life of the kingdom, which extends in fullness forever. And Lord, you know we live in a world that works so hard to preoccupy our attention and divert our direction, to call us to love other things, to give ourselves to other things, to make all of those earthly things the treasure that we seek to gather and protect and draw our attention away from the real treasure. So, Lord, we pray that you'll help us just now. Maybe across this room, some folks that are praying, Lord, I need to make sure my direction's right. And maybe in these days I've just been distracted. I've gotten out of focus. And, Lord, I need you to help me to keep focused on the kingdom, to keep you my value and your character and your life, the focus of my life and the investment of myself, to make you and your life and kingdom my treasure and to put my heart there. Lord, would you help us to do that? We can't do it ourselves. We're not strong enough. The world calls too loudly, but your grace, your Spirit can rest on us and keep our direction headed home. Lord, we ask that you would just do that among us now. For all of us, Lord, as we go from this place into a world, as we face the effort of the enemy who will do everything he can to change the focus of our treasure in our heart, that you would keep them resting on you. And now, Lord, take these, your children, that you love and for whom you gave yourself, for whom your deepest longing is that they would make their way home to be with you. Would you go with them now and hold them up and keep them straight and be a hedge of protection around them and to enliven their hearts and lives with the richness and life of the kingdom, the treasure that you give to us in yourself. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.